This morning, I'm going to continue with the passage I used last week. I shared with you that I had skipped some stuff. If you weren't here last week, go ahead and put the first slide up here, Greg. It's Psalms 91. We're going to go through it again. I'm going to have it up there so you can read it. I want you to read it. It's a different translation than I use, but that's okay. But I left out some stuff that I had prepared. And I went all week until Friday. And I said, God, I don't want to preach this. I can't preach this. And it's what I left out. And I had two pages on my little half pages. I had two pages of scriptures that I was going to use. I can't use them. I have to preach this. And I'm going to warn you, it's not fun. In a city setting, Rodney might be busy, because this is the kind of stuff you get shot for in our culture, what I'm going to preach this morning. You ready, Rodney? Thumbs up, he says. In our culture, if you preach the truth, I mean the truth, you can get shot for it anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to share with you the truth. And it's painful. But before we do that, before we get there, we're going to read through this again. I want you to notice, it's fascinating to me because I love to study God's Word, but notice verse 1 and verse 9, okay? When we get to verse 9, notice how similar these two verses are. And I'm going to read from, I've got it on my notes, so I'm going to read from the NIV. And this is RSV, so you go ahead and read it up there. It's close enough. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the bird trap, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Verse 5. You will not fear the arrow of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Now notice verse 9, how similar it is to verse 1. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who's my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. This is where I quit last week, or where I left out. He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 14, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't know how that breaks down up there on the slides. I didn't notice it. Would you go to verse 11, Greg? Okay, good. It's at the beginning of the slide. I want you to remember, don't forget this, it's very important. What I'm going to say refers to verse 1. He who dwells with God. Not he who attends church on Sunday. Not he who attends church on Easter and Christmas. He who dwells with God. He who is thinking about God. He who calls on God. He who is in communion with God. I've got to lighten this up. I heard a speech one time by a guy who, very wealthy man, and it was a business meeting. But he was telling of his early days when he was young. And he was apparently a teacher in his younger years, and he said you get the role of driver's ed teacher. And he said, I wasn't much of a praying man in those days. He said, I didn't even acknowledge God much, but, God, whatever, yeah. And he said, I was out on driving with this one student one day. Young gal, know nothing. I mean, just green, just don't know anything about driving, okay? And they're in a city setting. This is not out in our country roads. This is in a major city. And he says, I don't have a steering wheel, but I got my brakes, I got my pedals. And he just tells her, I don't know what her name was, at the next light, when it's green, I want you to turn left. Excuse me, got that wrong. I got it wrong, sorry. At the next light, I want you to turn right. Of course, she's nervous, scared. Gets to the light, it's green. She turns left. He said, I'm not a praying man. But at that moment, I've got to say something to God. And he said, all I could say was, Our Father who art in heaven, that truck is on my side. It's not like that when he says, dwell in the shadow of the Most High. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm in trouble. I need you now, God. It's dwelling with him constantly. The scripture says, pray without ceasing. That's hard, isn't it? Have you ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to just constantly be in prayer? You got work to do, don't you? You're thinking about other stuff. But that's what he's talking about, dwelling. And so everything that I say this morning has to do with that promise. If you dwell. I thought this was important that we use verse 11 and come back to it. Because of all this psalm, this is one place where Satan used it to try to trip Jesus. Remember that? When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? Satan takes him up, I believe it's to the top of the temple. Don't know how tall that was. Just picture the top of our steeple, which is pretty tall. And I don't know how he does it, if in spirit or if it's actually his body. I don't know. But he takes him up there. And Satan tells Jesus, now, from here, Jesus, I want you to throw yourself down to the ground. Because the Bible says that he will give his angels concerning you, so you will not strike. They will lift you in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. God promised it. That's God's promise, Jesus. Now, why don't you just prove it to the world how great you are and how the angels are taking care of you? And of course, Jesus responds, Satan, it also says, don't put the Lord your God to a foolish test. If anyone hears this passage of Scripture and still does not believe in guardian angels, I don't know what's wrong. Raise your hand. This is gutsy. Raise your hand if you believe that you have angels watching over you. Now, I know I just read it, but do you really believe that? Barb and I were on our way west someplace. I can't remember exactly where we were going. It almost seems like we were going to Valentine, maybe, and I don't know what for. But we got out in the sand hills out here where there's just nothing out there, you know. You just drive because there's nothing else to do. But we came upon a flagman, you know, the guy standing out in the middle of the road with a flag. And he had his stop sign. We were the only car out there, and he had his stop sign. So I stopped from here to the back door or so. I didn't know if there was construction, but it just said, well, there had been some big orange signs, construction ahead, and you know how it goes. And we sat there. And we sat there. And we sat there. And as we were sitting there, I just glanced in my mirror, and I saw way, way tiny in the distance was a truck. Yep, there's a truck. And I didn't pay much attention. I looked back. Yeah, he was closer. He was coming. Yeah, he was getting bigger. And we just sat there. And I was, all of a sudden, the sign guy just acting weird. And he holds up his sign, and then he just throws it and runs. I looked in my mirror, and of course, this could be exaggeration. Nobody's going to prove me wrong. But when I looked, there was 2 inches of room between my car and the tires on this truck as he was just woke up or whatever and was coming around us. This much room I saw. You know how you can see in the mirror and you can tell how close something is? That much room, that much light was between that truck, and he went whoom past us, and smoke coming off of his brakes. He was trying. He must have fallen asleep. I don't know. Wide open road. He could see the sign. Everybody could see the signs, but he didn't. He went a couple hundred yards past us and finally got a stop, and the brakes were smoking, and he never got out. I never talked to him. The flag guy came and took his sign and turned it to go, and we went. There were angels there. There were angels driving that truck. I don't know, maybe the guy fell asleep. You've done it. You've been driving along and kind of in a daze, the road's open forever. Something happened. He just didn't catch it. We should have been dead. Because this was a gravel truck with a pop. Big, heavy deal. You don't stop those in a little bit. If you don't believe in guardian angels, read the scripture again. If you're dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, don't expect guardian angels if you're not living in the shelter of the Most High. There's conditions here. You see that, don't you? If you make, verse 9, you don't have it there. Verse 9 says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, or because you have made the Most High your dwelling. And Jesus answered Satan, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The test that he is referring to, he is also using a scripture, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a remembering of the Jews and what they had done in the wilderness. It's reminding them of how they tested God. How they complained and whined, oh God, why don't you take care of us? 3 days before, they had had water from a rock. 2 days before, the manna had come and the quail. And now, oh God, you don't take care of us? And Jesus says, don't test God like they did there. Verse 13 is what gives me pain to preach this morning. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now, I'm not a theological major, and I'm not positive of this, but to me, it seems that this is depicting what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Do you know why Satan hates you? Notice it says, your enemy, the devil, okay? If you're pro-life, the pro-abortion people are not your enemy. A pro-abortion government is not your enemy. It's not people. You are not opposing people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm going to read that later. Satan is your enemy. Every one of us, Satan is your enemy. Do you know why he hates you so bad? It's very simple. Because God loves you so bad. So good. Because God loves you so good. And Satan knows that he can't get to God. That's been proven through Jesus. Satan can't get to God. But God loves us so supremely and so deeply, and he can get to us. That is why our culture, our world, is in such a mess. Why do you think we have so much evil and wickedness? Is it because God's abandoned us? No, it isn't. It's because we've turned to Satan. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, some of you at least do. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have been created. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn there. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the trees in the garden? Now in our terminology, it would go something like this. And I'm not trying to change scripture, so don't accuse me of that. But it would go something like this. Eve and Adam are probably in the garden. It's where God put them, so that's where they are. Some say, I don't know if this is true, some say the animals could communicate with Adam and Eve. Some say that's true. Balaam could talk when God gave him the opportunity. Balaam's donkey, I mean. The snake could talk. Some say that the animals could communicate with people. Well, anyway, they're in the garden, and here comes the snake. Wow. This is a beautiful place, isn't it, Eve? Gorgeous. Wow, isn't God good? Look at what he did. Wow. It's sure too bad you can't eat any of this. Man, he made all this. Why come we can't eat it? And he said, oh, that we can eat fruit from the garden. It's just that one back there, we can't eat from that one. Because God said if we eat from that, we're going to die. So we don't eat from that one. Well, Eve, you're not really going to die. God knows when you eat from that tree, you're going to be like him. And, you know, you won't really die. I don't know if that's how it went. We don't hear from Satan after that, in that setting. The Bible says that Eve went back and looked at the tree. Probably the most gorgeous fruit in the garden because it was forbidden. And Satan said, it'll make me like God. Satan said, you eat from that tree, you're going to be like God. Wow. You see what Satan was doing with Eve? He acknowledged God. All this fruit, too bad you can't eat any of it. But that's not what God said. And he took that little twist and he started to plant doubts in Eve's mind. And that doubt grew a little bit. And it grew some more until, Adam, let's go look at that tree. Let's just go look. The Bible says they were together. Adam was with her. And she took from the tree, she ate it, gave it to him. And that's why we have sin, because of Adam and Eve, and of course sin nature and our own sin and all the rest. But Satan took that one little seed and put it in Eve's mind, and it grew. Now, had she been dwelling in the shadow of the Most High, she would have been protected. Since the beginning of time, Satan has been taking God's word and twisting it. In today's culture, young people, listen up. Children, listen up. In today's culture, it's not fruit. Today's culture, it's not apples, it's not trees. In today's culture, the conversation might go something like this. You know, God has a lot on his plate, doesn't he? He's got 8 billion people to take care of. And think of all the women. Just think of all the women that are pregnant right now. All the babies that are going to be born in this next year. Thousands of them. You know, God is God, but it just... You suppose God ever makes a mistake? You suppose God ever messes up? You know, you've had these, I know you're a boy, I know that, but you've had these feelings, haven't you? You kind of wonder. You suppose God messed up? All the billions of kids that there are out there, you suppose God messed up with you? You're supposed to be a girl, aren't you? I know you're a girl, but you don't feel like a girl, do you? I think God probably got it screwed up. And he wouldn't have to say another word. But those children, young adults, even our government is promoting this now. This is not hate speech. I am telling you the truth. Satan will take that little seed of doubt, and our children, if they're not being raised in the shelter of the Most High, are going to be twisted like Eve was. And they're going to have that little doubt, and they're going to say, you know, I bet God did screw up with me. I bet I am a mistake. And without someone to tell them, no! God does not make mistakes. God made you like he wants you, and you are what you are supposed to be. This is not hate speech. God loves you. God loves us so far beyond what we can comprehend. But someone has to tell the truth that Satan is taking doubts and planting them in our young people's minds. You grandparents, you parents, are you bringing your children into the shelter of the Most High? Are you dwelling with your children in the shelter of the Most High? Because if you don't, Satan does not play fair. It just baffles me how we can accuse people of war games, for example. War games. War crimes is what I meant to say. You mean when you're in a war, you don't just shoot to win? Oh, no, no, no. We can charge you with war crimes because you didn't play by the rules. When it comes to Satan, he has no rules. And he will do whatever it takes to twist these young people or young adults. Young men, primarily, are you involved in pornography? Oh, there is nothing that will twist you worse than pornography. Are you dwelling in the shadow of the Most High? Satan will use those things and he will deform us. And God loves you so much. Anybody trying to shoot me yet, Rodney? But I'm not kidding. This is known as hate speech. People think if you speak against the homosexual movement or you speak against transgenderism or whatever it's called nowadays, that's hate speech. No, it's not. It's the truth. And remember last week we talked about the truth setting us free. But our world doesn't know that, ladies and gentlemen. They need us to tell them, if you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, if you dwell with my God who's my refuge, the testimony is what they need. Let me tell you about my refuge, is what the psalmist is saying in verse 9. And then in the last part of verse 13, the serpent. Revelation 12, 9. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. I have a scripture in my notes. It's also from Revelation 12. And it is so important, I put it in red because I didn't want to miss it. Right here. That's the only thing I have in red. Revelation 12, 17. This is a story, and I'm sorry, I don't know all the timeline. You Bible scholars, maybe you could say, well, dummy, this is how that is. No, I don't know it. This is talking about the woman, talking about Israel, who bears Jesus. And Jesus is taken away from his influence, so he can't go after Jesus anymore. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Now listen to this. The rest of her offspring, semicolon, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But do you obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus? I do. I am not perfect. Neither are you. None of us are. But I do the best I can. I raise my hand and I want you to do the same because we are Satan's target. I'm joking a little bit with Rodney. This is not a joke. We are at war. And Satan does not shoot fair. He is out to destroy you, especially you young people, us old guys too. Are you dwelling in the shadow of the Most High? I want to read this for you, getting close to the end of the time. This is so familiar, most of you can quote this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, or excuse me, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the pro-abortionists. That's not what it says here, but our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Don't forget that. When you see an opinion on TV that you just makes you throw up, that they're not the enemy. Satan is our enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. And then in addition, James 4, 7 through 8, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And then quickly this morning in closing, I'd like to go to verse 14. I believe all Scripture is God-breathed, all of it. I believe this book, like we have it before us, is God's Word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, and authors wrote it down. But when there is a quote comes up in Scripture, I take extra notice. Because he loves me, says the Lord. Do you have that? There it is. It doesn't say that in the RSV. Oh, you got to read it in the NIV. Sorry. Because he loves me, says the Lord. Says the Lord. God says this. Because he loves me, I will rescue him from Satan. I will protect him from Satan. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You could all quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It cross-references very well here. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. God, I need you today. I need you right this moment. God, please. I'm listening to you. I need your direction. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And last week I left you with the question, do you love God? Peter said three times, oh, sure, God, yes, yes, I love you. And that would be very easy in this setting. If I went down the row and I asked every one of you individually, do you love God? I don't see any heads nodding. Come on, do this. We would all say, yeah, sure. I'd like to close with this, and this is a soul-searching verse, and you can do what you want with it. This is in 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. This is love for God. That's what it says. This is love for God, to obey His commandments. So I can ask you, do you love God? And you can say anything you want. And if I ask you, are you obeying His commandments? And you would say no, then I would have to say, then you don't love God, do you? You see why I didn't want to preach this? It's hard. It's hard. Do I love my neighbor as myself? Do I love Nancy Pelosi? Okay, I love her. I don't like what she stands for. How's that? Probably won't carry much water. I read a story this week. I was going to bring it, decided not to, but I'm going to just use clips of it. I read a story this week. This is just happening. That's why I didn't bring the paper, because I thought it's a brand new testimony. You never know if it's real or not. There was a man in South Africa who has been in charge of Satan worship for, I think the article said, 10 to 12 years. He started the African, a satanic church in South Africa about 10 years ago. He started it. He doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Jesus. He went to do an interview at a South African radio station. And the woman who was interviewing him just did her job, just doing the interview, just asked him questions. Interview was over. They were in separate rooms. They didn't do it in the same room. They were through glass. The interview was over. She came around into his room. She just grabbed him. And he says, she gave me a hug to where I could feel that she loved me. This wasn't some weird thing. This was a genuine love hug. He thought that was pretty strange. Didn't say a word. Just hugged the stuffings out of him. He said 2 to 3 days, I believe it was, 3 days later, he was reading some things on the internet, and her name appeared. And he said, I found out that this woman was a Christian. She didn't tell me. I just found out that she was. He said, is that what that hug was about? Several days later, this man was doing some kind of a satanic ritual, and I didn't get into it a lot. I didn't want to. But he said, all of a sudden, in my ritual, I saw Jesus. Jesus showed His face to me. And he said, I felt that love from that woman. I'd never felt it before. But when Jesus was appearing to me, that was the same love that I felt when that woman hugged me. He said, what can I do? I said, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. The article goes on to say he's converted from Satanism. Because one woman, while he was a filthy, disgusting Satan worshiper, took the love of Jesus with her, and she just grabbed this guy and hugged him. Is that hate speech? That is not hate speech. That is love. And that is the truth. You and I are Christians. Have you hugged Nancy Pelosi today? No, but have you prayed for her? Have you prayed for those that you don't agree with today? I told you this was hard. You get it in 20 minutes. I've had all week to have this chew on me because I got more work to do than most of you.